We want to look here in Romans chapter 5 and read the first six verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. At peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, or we have entrance, by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe today we're surrounded by people all around us who are not at peace with God. I believe also if the doctors could come up with some prescription that would promise and deliver peace within each one of us without any side effects, I believe it'd be an instant success. I really do. I'm not a doctor this morning, but I know the source, and I have the prescription for peace. And we want to bring that out to you here this morning. We want to notice, first of all, the need for peace. The need for peace. Those that are lost, those that are without the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, are at enmity with God. They're at enmity with God. In the same chapter here, in the 10th verse, he says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Man cannot obey God's law. It doesn't matter how hard a person may try to be acceptable to God. Man, in his lost and undone condition, is going to fail. In the same book, in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 18, in chapter 7, and in verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." I believe that there is within all of us a desire to sin and to commit evil. And that is called the sin nature. The sin nature. And all of us have the sin nature. And you may want to turn over a new leaf. And you may not want to continue on in sin. But that fallen nature will not let you do anything else but to cater to that sinful sin nature that you have. Now, this enmity brings condemnation from the Lord. In the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 18, and I have some of these scriptures written down here, so I may go a little faster than what maybe you can find some of them, but in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we'll give you a minute to try to get over there. In John 3:18, it says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, underline that, circle it, and underline it again. And I believe that's the key to the whole verse here. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're here this morning, you're lost, you've never been saved by the grace of God. You're condemned already. You don't have to do one thing more. You don't have to commit one more sin. You're condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you would face the Lord today, you would go out into eternity today. You would go out into eternity, you would stand before the Lord, and you would have to stand there being condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't have to commit one more sin. You don't have to do one more thing wrong. You're condemned already. That's the condition. That is the true condition that the Lord says that you're in right this very moment, right where you sit. You're condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't have to drink one more beer. You don't have to commit one more act of idolatry. You don't have to commit one act of fornication. You're condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if I had one verse to quote somebody for them to be saved, that would be that verse. So you're condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the Bible is very clear. If a person is not a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then they're condemned to spend eternity in hell. So we need to be at peace with God, because the only option is to be his enemy. To be his enemy. So what we do in this matter of making peace with God will determine where we spend eternity. A person can ignore it and die and go to hell. Or they can make peace with God and go to heaven. Well, that's very clear, isn't it? Very plain. But that's the truth. That's the truth. Do you have peace with God? Are you at peace with God? Now we want to notice what peace is not. What peace is not. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, in Isaiah, chapter 48, in verse 22, Isaiah 48 and verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Peace is not trying to appease God with your efforts. Adam and Eve tried to make themselves acceptable unto God by their own works. It didn't work then, and it won't work today. Because God can see right through our attempts that we do to try to cover up our sin, just like he did theirs. We can run, but we can't hide. We can pretend, but it doesn't make it a reality. It matters not how hard we try. We cannot appease God with our works. Many are trying to appease God with their works. Many are trying to appease God by the good things that they might do. But that won't work. So peace is not trying to appease God with our good works. Peace is not trying to be at peace with God. God is either our best friend or our worst enemy. You think about that. We don't make him our friend by being friendly with him. He doesn't look at our friendliness and count that as righteousness. He will not look at our situation and say, oh, well, they're trying to do their best, so I'll accept that. Doesn't do that. He doesn't accept us because we're trying to make peace with God. We cannot. It's impossible for us to make peace with God on our own. It's impossible. And so we can try as much as we will, and as long as we will, and as hard as we will. And every single one of us will come up short. In Romans 3:23, a very familiar passage of Scripture where he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. That covered every one of us here in this building this morning. And so, peace is not trying to be at peace with God. Peace with God is not being at peace with your neighbor or being at peace with your family or whatever. We may be in who's who. Or we may be on the dean's list. Or we may be the good citizen of the year. But that is not going to bring peace with God. It's not going to do it. Our social acceptance does not impress God. Many people today feel that just because they're a good neighbor, that they're good parents, that they're a good husband, that they're a good wife, that that's going to bring the favor of God upon them. And so social acceptance will not impress God. Regardless of how hard you try and how hard you work at it, peace with God is not having been accepted in church membership or being confirmed or being baptized sometime in the past. There's many today that's thinking that God is going to accept them because they're a member of some church or because they were baptized when they were a baby or when they were a child or that they were confirmed when they were younger or that they were baptized. That is not going to bring peace with God. Works of righteousness that we do is not going to persuade God. Having a personal experience of the grace of God in every person that's going to step into heaven is going to have peace with God They're going to have a personal experience of the grace of God in their own heart. The Lord must have one day visited them with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God and grant them the repentance and faith to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. John chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "You must be born again before you enter the kingdom of heaven." You must, that is the most important must in all the Bible, is you must be born again before you enter the kingdom of heaven. And so our social acceptance is not going to get us to heaven. It sounds good, and it makes us feel better to know that we have our names on a church roll, or that we have been baptized when we were a child. And that gives you what we call false assurance. All that is false assurance. It sounds good, and it makes you feel better because you have your name on a church roll, or that you've been baptized, or that you've been confirmed. But that is not going to get you into heaven. You must be born again before you enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's been some that have been taught that if you're a faithful church member, that God is going to accept that as salvation. God is not going to accept that as salvation. Some have been taught that if they partake of the Lord's Supper, that God is going to accept that as salvation. Others have been taught that if they have been baptized or if they have been sprinkled, then God is going to accept them. But that will not be sufficient. It will not be sufficient. And so peace with God is not having been accepted in church membership or being confirmed or being baptized. But you can have peace with God this morning. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that we just read to you. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So that is very clear how we get peace with God. We must be justified by faith. "Therefore, being justified," having things made right with the Lord Jesus Christ, "being justified by faith, we have peace with God." So a moment a person believes, the moment they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God will declare you to be righteous. And what good thing about that is He'll never change His mind. He'll never change His mind. God has completely judged sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute. And that's the reason we have justification. That's the reason that we have salvation this morning, is because God has completely judged sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, he says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that is the price that was paid for us to have redemption, for us to be saved. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "For He," God, "hath made Him to be sin," Jesus Christ, "for us, who knew no sin." We had to have a perfect substitute. And Jesus Christ was that perfect substitute who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You are made the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord has got to make you righteous. We are made that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Salvation is 100% by the grace of God. Salvation today is brought about because of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Romans 5 and verse 8, he says, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so we see here that God was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary in judging our sin. He shed His blood. He paid the ransom. He paid the ransom for our sin. There's nothing left to be paid. It's all taken care of. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is at total peace with what was done in our behalf. Isn't that great? Does that cause you to rejoice? You that are saved this morning, doesn't that cause you to rejoice to know that God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Salvation is complete. Listen, the Lord doesn't halfway save a person. We are completely saved. Our sins are completely gone. They are forgiven. That lady there that was caught in adultery several times there that the Lord spoke about there, I believe it's in the book of Luke or one of the Gospels there. She was caught in the act of adultery and several times, and the Lord looked down and leaned down and He wrote something in the sand. You know what I believe He wrote? Forgiven. Forgiven. He told her, go sin no more. And so we have peace with God because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're depending on anything other than that, you're lost. You're not saved. Because the work is done. It's done. And God was satisfied with it. And we must be satisfied with it. Are you satisfied with that? Are you satisfied with the perfect work that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary? Or are you going to be satisfied with your baptism, with your church membership, with all of the works that you might do? What are you satisfied with? It really doesn't matter whether we're satisfied with it or not. It's whether God is satisfied with it. Whether He is satisfied with it. And so, Jesus Christ put away the wrath of God for us. For God's wrath to be appeased in the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrificed lamb was to be applied to the mercy seat. Isn't that right? When the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, He placed it on the mercy seat before God the Father, and He said, the Father accepted that offering of the sacrificial lamb, the Son of God, as a payment for our sin. God accepted that payment. He sacrificed His life. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And so the blood offering has removed the enmity between God and us. We have been reconciled unto Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this also in closing. Peace does not come without a cost. Peace does not come without a cause. Christ gave His life that we might have peace with God. Romans 6:23. You've heard that. All of you have heard it quoted. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God demands the death penalty for sin. And therefore, to make peace with God, we requires that someone give their life for peace. Peace always costs someone their life. You think about that. We have special days like Memorial Day to remind us of the price of freedom. Sinner friend, you can be freed today. For if when we were enemies, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, we've read that verse. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It took somebody to die. It took somebody to give their life that we might have eternal life, that we might be saved, that we might have a place in heaven reserved for us. And so He desires also that we give our lives to Him. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, He then becomes the one who leads and guides and directs and controls our life. We begin to live for Him. We want to do what He wants us to do. We want to please Him with our life. And so that's what it means by giving our life for Him. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ will you ever experience the peace of God. And we've given you several reasons today how that you can have peace with God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior? Have you personally placed your faith and trust in the finished work, in the finished work on the cross of Calvary? Do you long for this peace this morning? You can have that today. You can leave here knowing that you're saved by the grace of God. You can leave here this morning without not having any fear of all, at all, of ever spending eternity in hell. You can have that peace, but it's only going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you depending on to get to heaven?